What's up, guys? This is Igor in Russia, and today we're going to have a special guest on our channel. This is a very special episode. As a foreigner, you have a lot of stereotypes and prejudices and maybe prejudice opinions and thoughts how you're perceived in Russia or how you are treated. But don't take my word for it. Today we're going to have a special a lawyer straight from Moscow, Russia, Michael Braden, correct?
Did I pronounce it right? That's right. My name is Michael, but Braden is not my surname. This is our company name. It's Braden Consulting Law Firm. Yeah, so my name is Michael. I'm a head of international department of Braden Consulting Law Firm. Well, we've been providing like legal services, legal accounting and all related services since 2008. So basically, we focus on helping international clients in Russia.
Excellent. So really, really happy to have you on the channel. And this is not only for the people who are interested in topics. This is also interesting for me because, as I told you before, and viewers know that I'm also a foreigner technically, on every level when I travel to Russia. So I'm very interested about the topics. We're going to talk about legal stuff, most maybe visa and maybe citizenship. Not maybe. These are for sure topics we're going to go through. But please let us shortly know more about you. How did you end up being head of a company and a lawyer? And in English, why you speak so well English? I found you in certain channel and I was like, hey, I want to talk more.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, I really appreciate with everything you're making for your viewers. And thanks a lot for having me. It's a great pleasure, Igor. Well, yeah, I'm a Russian citizen. I'm a Moscovite. So my, I think that Moscow is the best place in the world. And like later, I will tell you why, especially for foreign citizens. Well, basically, I obtained my bachelor's degree in Moscow State Law University. My specialization is international and European law. After that, I moved to the Netherlands, and there I got my master's degree. So, then I just spent another 2 years there. And yeah, let me just tell you one thing about the Netherlands, right? Mm-hmm. So I was fascinated how transparent and clear the all the mechanism in terms of migration legislations are in the Netherlands. I mean, well, yeah. For example, they have this website. It's called IND.nl. Mm-hmm. So just there, you can easily find all, legal procedures for any legal basis, any legal ground, if you would like to stay there. If we're talking about migration legislation. So after like living there for 3 years, I've decided to move to Russia and basically provide quality legal services for international citizens, international clients in Russia. This is basically my main goal, my main priority.
Yeah. And by the way, as you can see, this is Moscow flag over there.
Indeed.
But above it is St. Petersburgian coat of arms, that small one. I really enjoyed Moscow. Just recently were there properly and filmed tons of videos. But I'm a big fan of St. Petersburg's, and there's a competition between the two cities. So,
as always, I can say that here we're on the same page. I mean, well, my heart belongs to Moscow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry about that. But still, St. Petersburg is just the awesome city. It's just the great city. A lot of friends living there, and I really like to, spend my holidays there as well. It's mm-hmm. quite convenient just to go there by train.
And since you love also Netherlands, as you know, St. Petersburg, Peter the Great took a lot of copied a lot of from Netherlands. How would you, you said you're you love living in Moscow. How would you describe living in Russia and Moscow, especially comparing it maybe a little bit to the West, which is very familiar for you? Because, yeah, that's that gives a special take on it.
Yeah, the thing is that I've been to, well, I've been to many places, right? So, I mean, the most of EU countries and USA, et cetera, et cetera. But again, I just, I'm a Russian citizen. I'm from Moscow, right? So that's why I truly believe that Moscow is the one of the best cities to live in the world, especially for, you know, foreign citizens taking into account their salaries in Russia and the, well, exchange rate, like ruble exchange rate. And yeah, I just love my city. I mean, starting from the, I don't know, transport, yeah, like metro, underground, everything that we have in our city, and in with the, you know, with the look of the city itself. Yeah. It's just awesome. Yeah, so, and also the same applies to, you know, nice cities of Russia, we just mentioned Petersburg, Kazan, etc. So, yeah, really nice.
A lot of the things you mentioned, I was 6 days in Moscow. Before that, I was 6 hours. A few years, years ago, I was only 6 hours in St. Petersburg, Moscow, because I traveled to where my roots, my family, relatives lived, to Voronezh. Yeah. So I was 6 hours. So this is my first time properly. And I really quickly acknowledged those things you said. And even though my heart, and I say I would rather live in St. Petersburg if I get the chance, like fully. But I can relate to you saying that. I think possibly, I haven't been around the world, but I can imagine Moscow probably being one of the, or even the best city to live, because there's everything you can imagine. Everything is tip top, and everything is done for people.
It's convenient. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
and I have to promote also. I really love metros of Russia, and I don't know. Am I the only one? But at least probably the only video online from me filming every metro station of St. Petersburg.
Oh, awesome.
But there's 72. You have 250 and over. And I would someday I would hope I could film them all as well.
Yeah.
All right, very interesting. What about, before we go into the topics, one more question or a couple maybe. What is the best thing in the West, and what's the best thing in the, well, in this case, Moscow or Russia overall, you can choose. What is one thing that kind of best there and best in Russia?
You know, the thing is that, let me just tell you from the legal point of view, as I already mentioned about this, you know, really, hey, hi, Kitty.
Portik.
No, it's totally fine. I love cats and dogs. So the thing is
Говорит, что любит котов.
Yeah,
but Мешает.
I really do. I really do. Say hi. So the idea is that, again, the best thing. Well, let me just compare legal stuff between.
Okay.
Let's say Netherlands, because I've been there for 3 years, and like Russia, right? So again, if we would take the migration legislation here, I would say it's kind of a gray zone. It's not that clear how to proceed, where to start. And yeah, comparing to the Netherlands, it's really, you know, convenient and easygoing procedures. Of course, you might also hire a lawyer in the Netherlands, and most of people do this. But again, being just, you know, a regular guy, you can just, you know, read the stuff from the internet, which is, you know, updated, real stuff, and then apply for the some sort of residency, for example, or a permit, which is very good in the Netherlands, right? I cannot say about US because I've just been there for 3 weeks, right? And I haven't you know, lived in any other EU countries, so that's why I should compare, I think, with the Netherlands. What do I love in Russia? I cannot tell you. Okay, it's a very complicated question simply because I was raised here. So basically I love Russia, so what can I say here? But
one thing only, if you have to say one thing, only one thing.
Well, a diverse nature. I mean, it's really cool just to travel around Russia, because really, you know, different landscapes. So I would say this.
I agree that Russia, and if we're talking about these like legal stuff and or this bureaucracy, maybe bureaucracy is bureaucracy everywhere, but still everywhere. Somehow I would say that maybe Western people are, it's more clear and easy, and Russia you have to maybe find your way, and there's a human aspect which is taken out of the West. Because even though sometimes people say the Russian people in the bureaucracy steps are like really harsh, or let's say border controls, but that's actually, there's always very often you might see actually when you find the correct word, they actually, despite your prejudice, they're just, you know, just a smile or maybe one word in Russian can open up people's hearts, and that's something unexpected very often. And but yeah, but hey, your company, so what kind of clientele you usually have before going to the topics they are contacting you about? But who are you?
So we provide services for everyone. I mean, for the business as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of requests from international entrepreneurs who just want to start their business in Russia, and also for just regular people who want to study in Russia, work. Basically, you name it. So mm-hmm. there are. I cannot pick up the only one, you know, type of our clients.
Is there a lot of entrepreneurs right now, or has it changed now due to the current situation in the world drastically or less?
I would say it depends on the citizenship of mm-hmm. the entrepreneur. I just want to give you a small example, right? For example, there is a list of so-called unfriendly countries, right? So let's say if you are a UK citizen, right, and you would like to be an owner, a founder of your Russian company, like limited liability company, mm-hmm. yes, you still can do that. And I would say in Russia, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of simple and easy to get your company registered. But right now, if you're from this so-called crazy list of unfriendly countries, mm-hmm. then they have this thing. It's called like governance committee for checking you. And mm-hmm. again, it's something new for us as lawyers. And again, it's also a gray zone. How do they check you? Because you are not, a big business, right? With big interests in Russia. You're just, businessmen who would like to start their own company. And and the terms is about 2, 3, or maybe 4 months for getting this, you know, result, this governance check. It's still possible, but right now it's there are some obstacles. But of course, if you're from India, right?
BRICS countries, yeah.
That's right. So we have the same procedure. So basically, it takes like 7 working days, 7 business days to register your company. Mm-hmm. And just a piece of advice. Let's say again, you're from UK, right? You may have your Russian business partner who can become an owner and the general director simultaneously. So you would, you know, lower your risks and, you know, stress with this so-called.
If it's under Russian citizen's name, if the company is run by.
Or if it's a foreign citizen with the permanent residence permit.
Yeah. It's also possible. It's interesting. So even now, there's still possibilities, because I know here in Finland, where I'm actually filming this right now, I know that it's been process has been going, progress has been going worse and worse towards Russians, because I know that it's been getting too hard for Russians to open any businesses or even bank accounts, to own a bank account. Even before this Russia-Ukraine issue, it's been like really, really made hard. So Russia, despite being always the bad guy in the Western narrative, it's still, this is kind of, even now you can do it, even though sure, it's more difficult because of the unfriendly country status. What about the students? You mentioned also the students. And that's, I get a lot of questions also that from people around the world that I'm going to study there. Can you help me out? I'm in no position. I just tell what I can. Yeah. But is that changed?
No. I think that issue, that obstacle, might be just one of three or two obstacles that we do have with students from so-called unfriendly countries. Mm-hmm. But again, you can easily open a bank account with a tourist visa if you're from Sweden, etc. There is no problem. Also, just I just want to note that we have an agreement between US and Russia, and US citizens can still get a tourist visa for 3 years.
Okay.
So, no one can, but still it's possible. So it's more like political stuff, right? But here, I wouldn't say that we have huge changes in migration legislation. Mm-hmm. About student visa, of course, this is one of the most popular types of visas. And let me just explain why, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we also, as a law firm, provide a service of getting a one-year student visa. It's a Russian language course. The idea is that if you have a student visa, you have this chance to get a temporary and eventually a permanent residence permit. Let me give you an example. So if you're studying in Russia for like bachelor's or master's degree, if it's a state university, and if you're having full-time program, it's called ochnaya form in Russia, then starting from January this year, you can apply for a so-called temporary residence permit for students. Mm-hmm. It's called RVPO. We have RVP, like TRP for everyone else. And then we have a special temporary residence permit for students. So the idea is that you can apply for this temporary residence permit for students. Let's call it RVPO. So you can apply while you're studying. And when you will graduate, so when you finish your studies, you have 180 days to apply for a permanent residence permit issued forever. Basically, that's it. So that's why it's very convenient in terms of get. If your main goal is to continuously live in Russia, I would say this is one of the best legal grounds to do that. By the way, if you would get a student visa for a Russian course, right, you cannot apply for this.
It has to be a full education, like 3-5 years.
Not a language course. But still, you have a really nice chance, and it's called quota. So a quota is like a lottery, usually compared to the US green card system. So the idea is that any foreign citizen can apply for this quota, having just, passport, valid visa, registration, and migration card. Migration card you will get at the airport or like when you cross the border. And registration is your obligation. And I can tell a little bit later about this piece of paper. That's it. So our service here is to correctly fill out the application quota application form. So you can apply, you can submit this application each month. If we talk about Moscow, right? Each region has its own rules.
Okay.
So you pay only once and you use this application each month just trying to win this quota. For instance, we used to have one of our clients, she's from the US, from the USA, and she applied for this quota, having her tourist visa, right? Issued for 3 years.
Yeah.
And if I'm not wrong, she used her second try, and she eventually won this quota. Also, we cannot tell what is the percentage rate, right? Whether you win or not. This is, again, it's just a gray zone. That's why we call it kind of a lottery, right? Mm-hmm. But I just can say that we put there some info about her background. So she's the author of books about Russia. Maybe it worked out. So again, while you're having your 12 months visa, you can apply every month for this quota and you may win. If you win this quota, that means that you have the legal ground to apply for a 10K residence permit issued forever. So I just told you the general procedure, how to get the temporary residence permit.
Does it differ for other countries from the US model, which is the 3 years?
For everyone, you may have your tourist visa for 1 month. Of course, you would have like only one try, right? And I personally think that your chances are lower if you just compare like two applicants, right? With a tourist visa for 30 days and a student who is learning Russian language.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is just what I think.
Right now, there's a lot of news about visa issuings, and especially, well, it depends on the country. For example, in Finland, from Finland, there's been a tightening from the Russian side towards those with the business visas. So can you shortly, well, in your own words, tell the kind of different variations about visas and what kind of maybe problems or specifics might include to that special visa, and which one you should take if you have the alternative to choose from? Mm-hmm. Tourist visa and maybe a business visa.
Yeah, so...
And others.
First, I would say that both tourist visas and business visas are short-term stay visas, right? It depends on your citizenship for how long you can stay with a tourist visa, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that the minimum term is 30 days, right, for the visa countries. And the maximum term is 90 days during 6 months, right? You can have double entries. A business visa is also a short-term visa, but of course you can get your visa, for example, for 1 year. But again, the inconvenience is that you can spend your 90 days with your business visa, then you have to exit Russia for 90 days, and only then you can come back and spend your second 90 days term.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's not that convenient if your main goal is to basically live here in Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thus, we should talk about long-term visas. These are student visas, work visas, and also private visas, like the so-called family visas. So, as I already told you about the student visa, it's a convenient way to
start your path
in Russia. Then work visas. We have two types of work visas. I would call the ordinary one, the normal one, issued for 1 year, and the second one is the 3 year highly qualified specialist visa. So the 1 year work visa is issued by the employer who is willing to hire you officially, right? So we as a law firm provide our services for the second type of visa, which is highly qualified specialist visa for 3 years. Because it's not that easy, actually. It's not that easy to issue such invitation. The advantage is that you'll just have your visa for 3 years. You can stay the whole 3 years period here in Russia. As a bonus, you can simultaneously bring all family members with you if you would like to do that. But if we compare these two types of work visas, I would say the first one for the like 1 year work visa is more convenient in terms of getting residency, because there is a list of professions issued by the Ministry of Labor, right? By the way, this list will be renewed, I think, during October or November, right? So there's a list of certain professions, positions. So let's say they have, like, if I'm not wrong, 10 positions for teaching positions. So if you are преподаватель or учитель, so basically a teacher, you can apply for a permanent residence permit issued forever. It's called ВНЖ in Russia. If you would have this position written in your contract, and this is very important, mm-hmm. not like English teacher, but only a teacher, only учитель. Yeah. If you work there for more than 6 months, you can apply for a permanent residence permit, skipping the stage of a temporary residence permit, so you could get a permanent residence permit forever.
Are you eligible for a business visa? I have my own visa right now, but in general, are you eligible for a visa if you are a YouTuber, which is a business, but based on that and type of online work, you know?
Unfortunately, no. So you have to have a work contract with the Russian employer, because one of the needed documents, right, is the tax reports and extract from the pension fund of Russia, because your employer pays taxes and contributions to the pension fund of Russia. So that's why, unfortunately, no. You have to have a work visa issued by a Russian company. And I just want to also mention that the HQS visa is very convenient to live here, and you can prolong this visa being in Russia, so you don't have to go to your home country or something like this. But in terms of residency, it's complicated. Basically, it's mm-hmm. complicated, because first you can only get your, it's still VNJ, it's still passport looking document, but it's limited to your duration of your visa. So that makes it, it's not.
It's like it's a visa without restrictions, of without the 90 days restrictions.
No. Again, with the HQS visa, you can live the whole 3 year mm-hmm. period. Yeah. But if you decide to get the permanent residency, yes, it's possible. But you'll get, let's call it HQS VНЖ, HQS residence permit, but it's limited. I don't think that it's a good idea to have a limited residence permit, because then you have to get a permanent residence permit. Eventually, I would say it's just another topic for another video. Yeah. I would just if we're talking about the most, like, the easiest way to get a residency here, student visa, nice. 1 year work visa, working with the under a certain position, also very good. And then, let's say if you have any type of visa, and you got married to a Russian citizen, then that would be one of the legal grounds for the simplified procedures for getting temporary or permanent residence permit. I've mentioned the quota, right? So quota is the general procedure, and we have certain legal grounds for a simplified procedure of getting the residency. For example, let's say you're a student, right? You met someone, right? You're in love. Mm-hmm. You got married, guys. Okay, perfect. That the marriage certificate is the legal ground to apply for a temporary residence permit.
But you have to live in Russia to have that temporary permit, right?
Yeah. Again, if it always depends on your final goal and your life expectations, right? Mm-hmm. What you want to do. If you want to stay in Russia, then the temporary residence permit, it's issued for 3 years. And after 8 months of holding this temporary residence permit stamp in your passport, you can apply for a permanent residence permit issued forever. But yes, when you get this temporary residence permit, you have to live in Russia at least 6 months.
And that means officially, right? It's because in Russia, very often landlords, very often people who live and pay rent, very often, to my knowledge, it's unofficial. Yeah. Basically, you have maybe agreement between the person, but the government doesn't know you actually living in that address. So that's so you have to live legally. So that the government.
That's right, because when you receive your temporary residence permit, basically it's a stamp in your passport. Mm-hmm. They also stamp there a visa for 3 years, so you could travel, and also they stamp your address of permanent registration.
Yeah.
So that's why this is a very important thing, because one of the popular problems that face foreign citizens, all of them, not only for the permanent registration, is the registration itself. Mm-hmm. Because, well, let me just, if we're talking about the problems, let me just tell you this particular problem, right? So mm-hmm. let's say you arrive in Russia. You have 7 business days in order to get the registration. Registration is a white piece of paper which states your actual address of stay. Now, any hotel or hostel must, so they're obliged to register you when you check in, right? Also, you can get this registration with the owner, with the landlord of the apartment where you are going to stay. Here, it's my advice just to, before you sign a contract or agree with the landlord, just, talk with him or her about the registration, about the temporary one, which is the piece of paper, and if you would stay for a longer period, about a permanent registration. Again, it's just the name. It's not that, I'm very sorry.
No problem. And I'm doing all the drinking. I don't talk, but I just drink. Yeah, continue.
I just got sick a little bit. I mm-hmm. hope that would not be an issue for our viewers. So the idea is that, yes, you have to agree with them, because you will have to get the stamp in your passport. That mm-hmm. might be a problem. So
yeah,
this is a very...
And landlords sometimes don't want to do that because there's a historical reason why Russians don't want to deal with government, with the official, with the taxes, etc. Not focusing on this topic, but this is the background, the ideology. And foreigners, it makes all of it suspicious for them to do, because usually they dealt with Russians and it's easy. But when it comes to foreigners, like, hey, will I get in trouble, and et cetera, lots of responsibilities. It's not worth it, because in big cities, St. Petersburg, Moscow, you can get easier the person to live there, renter. No, I don't know the word.
Tenant, right?
Yes. Yeah. A little bit close to this topic. There's a lot of internet. A lot of Americans been talking about, because of political situation changing in USA. Topics about this. Well, different reasons. Not gonna get into that. But a lot of Americans, to my knowledge, are interested in Russia. Well, shortly, because of the traditional values, etc., or whatever reasons. And how can one move to Russia? What's the short answer to that? What he, she should do in order to move to Russia, if that's his or her goal?
Again, we always have to start with a visa mm-hmm. type, and then we have to understand what is the final goal, right? So we should choose the appropriate visa type, and then the whole path of getting temporary residence permit, permanent residence permit, or mm-hmm. citizenship. I would say that recently we got more clients from the US, from Canada, from Australia, also having these reasons that you just mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is truth. I wouldn't say that we had know clients from the US. But right now, especially with this, not only political reasons, but the whole lifestyle things, right?
Yes.
They really want to move here to Russia.
But it's politicized in USA. That's what I meant. This, the way of living has been, and the values are politicized.
I mean, true. That's true. Well, I would say that, okay, guys, you have three types of visas, right? Let's say you're the United States citizen. Okay, again, you can get the 3-year tourist visa with the possibility of staying 180 days. But then you can just make the so-called border run for like one day and then spend another 180 days.
So not fair, by the way.
Not fair at all, yeah.
For me, why? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our old deal, the old agreement probably, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is the old agreement and, well, thanks God it's still into force. So, this is good. This is positive.
Yes.
While you're here with your tourist visa, again, you can apply for a quota as our client from the US, one did this quota. And this is the first option. Second option, you can get a student visa. You can get the course visa with our help, or you can get the bachelor's degree visa. Right?
Is it restricted to age? Because I know Russia is still very traditional.
Law, yeah. According to the law, no. But I would say because I can just tell our practice, right? So we have our students who are above 50, like 55. It's still they're students, right? But I would say if you're about 70, but again, this is my personal point of view. Mm-hmm. The immigration authorities might,
but it gets really old, with all due respect to those above 70, but still relatively old. It's not like traditional, like in the old days, it means you're a young person to study. So it can't be older, right?
Yeah, yeah. We have no age restrictions in Russian laws. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is just the recommendation. Again, we have clients who are students in our partner universities who are 55, 56, so yeah. Still possible. And work visa.
Yeah. And the third, you said second, third
is a work visa, right? So you have to find an employer who is willing to hire you officially. And I just told you how it could be done with a work visa. So again, we have certain legal grounds for simplified procedures. If you have any type of visa, if you're married to a Russian citizen, then you can apply directly for a temporary residence permit. Secondly, if you have a Russian child, then you can apply for a permanent residence permit, skipping the stage of temporary residence permit. It will be issued forever. And also, by the way, you don't have to pass the Russian language history and legislation exam if you have a Russian child.
Okay.
It's not applicable to the marriage option. Mm-hmm. But again, we as a law firm, provide the wide range of services, and it's really possible to pass this exam with our help as well. But you have to do it by yourself, of course.
And already now, guys, you can check out the link and check out the company's sites with all the good consultation. And the links are below and in the also at the video's name. But feel free to, you also offer consulting for free. And if it goes further, you help all the way till the end, right?
Correct. So all our consultations, it may be 5 minutes or 15 minutes, it doesn't matter. Because again, my and our company's main goal is to make it as clear as it possible for a foreign citizen, right? Mm-hmm. Just to understand how to proceed. So yeah, our consultations are always free and we got rewarded for the result. We always have, it's very easy. So we sign the contract, then we have the advance payment when we start working on the case, and the second and the final payment as when we get the result. So yeah, just contact us. I'll just tell, I think, a little bit later or now that we have, you know, YouTube channel, Telegram channel as well. It's called Live and Do Business in Russia. Also, there are a lot of, you know, nice chats in Telegram as well, like Moscow Pals, Moscow Expats, where we as a law firm trying to just answer, you know, the billions questions. And also we do it for free. So yeah, yeah.
Links will be also below in the description. By the way, how much approximately could very basic legal thing, where not just consultation, which was free, but how much does it cost to get something done? I don't know what would be a typical case for a foreigner to have you on. How much does it would cost approximately? Sure, it differs, depends on many things. But
well, first of all, we always send our commission offers. They're not that short because we just wanted to, you know, tell all the information regarding the, well, let's say a student visa, right? It's like a 6-page offer. Our clients get the terms and costs for our services. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for today, I would say that if we're talking about any type of residency, it's always 90,000 rubles. So we have this cost, if I'm not wrong, for the whole entire period, like we haven't changed it for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the citizenship as well. So if we're talking about the cost for the student visas, it's higher because it's also depends on the university, and our partner is one of the high ranked top university, state university in Russia. It depends on the service. For example, we have clients who got deported from Russia because of the illegal stay here. Mm-hmm. And they have no idea, do they have the entry ban or not? So we can also make this database check. So it's about 4,000 rubles. So it depends, but we always, provide our consultations for free. So
and put it in retrospect, the 90,000 rubles, which sounds a lot, is around $900 euros, and 4,000 is $40 approximately. So
yes, Russian rubles. And with current exchange rate, I would say it's nice
cost. It's a discount. Yeah.
Well,
even right now, since the ruble got substantially weaker. Yeah, around 100,
that's right.
100, about a bit over 100 is now the currently, and it's been a few weeks now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and also you've just mentioned the discounts, right? So if someone from your audience viewers will come to us, then of course they will get a 10% discount for the first service. So because why not? We really want to cooperate and provide services for citizens.
So guys, check out the instructions down below if you need help, use consultation, which is free, and if you need to advance, Michael's company will help you out, and you get a discount. Link and description in below. All right.
Sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to mention that we have not only migration issues, but I would say that this is a huge, part of our job, because we also represent Easterns' interests in the courts, family issues, as well as the setting up business, bankruptcy services. So we also accredited by British Embassy in Russia, so you can just check gov.uk, and we're listed in the list of lawyers companies, And the idea is that we are accredited by, if I'm not wrong, like four Russian banks, like VTB, Rosbank, Gazprombank, as their partners in terms of international clients. So if you would like to get a mortgage, it's also possible. But of course, it depends on different aspects, like if you have residence or not, your salary, etc., etc. So,
and that's my next question, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. How can a foreigner buy an apartment if it's possible?
It's possible. There are no restrictions.
If what about if you don't live yet? Let's say you want to buy an apartment, and that's your plan to get into Russia and maybe own.
You can be a tourist, so you can buy an apartment. There are no restrictions in the law that prohibits the transaction, right? Yes, you can buy an apartment, no problem. About mortgage, yes, it's possible, and we help with it. But again, it depends on different parameters. I mean, of course, if you're having your residency here,
it helps a lot.
Helps a lot, right? If you work in a Russian company with a nice salary, well, I would say that the positive outcome is really, really possible.
But if you don't live and you're just a tourist or maybe business visa or something like that, because I think these are most typical ones. If you're talking about talking about volume, they're most common ones. So is that possible if you're not working? Well, the Russian side, the bank doesn't have the official information about your salaries. Does it end the story there? Or are you able to somehow still get a mortgage? Because otherwise it means, let's say in St. Petersburg, okay, apartment, new apartment, and Moscow is more expensive. If you want to buy just an apartment, not business, it's like 10 million, which is like 100,000. No, it's on the lower side, 100,000, let's say. You have to bring that money in, and I don't know how many people have that amount. So is there any way to get a mortgage from a bank?
If you're asking me, I'm not a financial expert, right? I'm not the bank manager, but I would say the probability would be higher if you would have Russian salary and Russian residency. So
it's understandable though.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you could get the money and just it won't be able to reach you or don't have any information about your income. Okay. Did I ask? I'm not sure. Did I ask? I will try to. I have really good, pretty good questions about businesses. Any obstacles in owning business in Russia? I think you mentioned that in the beginning. And a foreigner get a loan from a bank. It's the same thing. You cannot get it unless, it's something official from which is approved by a Russian side should be there.
Yeah, it's still possible, but the chances are lower, much lower than if you would compare it to the residency guy with a good salary in a Russian company. Yeah.
From the legal perspective, is Russia dangerous for a foreigner?
Well, if you're asking me, right?
Yes.
I think definitely not. Moreover, I would say that, again, we've got a lot of clients who are English teachers here. So the salary is good, again, having this exchange rate. If you live in big city like Moscow, St. Petersburg, you can live really nice, right? We have a lot of clients who are students or who just, arrived during the championship, right, in the Moscow. Football
club. Yeah.
From Africa, right? We have a lot of clients from Nigeria, Ghana, etc. So I cannot even remember any type of really dangerous situation. Yeah, well, they have problems with the landlords. It's a common problem. Mm-hmm. It's a very, you know, human thing, right? So you have to deal with them. You have to agree with them or find any kind of solutions. Because, yeah, your registration must be in the database. But I think no. I think even right now, well, having this, you know, nowadays we have this kind of climate, right? I mean, in terms of political and everything. So I think that Russia is really interested in bringing more, you know, highly qualified specialists, for example, more foreign clients to live here. So I would say it's pretty safe for like living here.
I ask that because people who don't watch my videos or other YouTubers, and still, if they do, they cannot get over their prejudices about Russia being so, you know, dangerous. And if, for example, right now in this climate, political climate, every Western country says basically, I think the correct, if you go to the embassy page, that it's not just not recommending traveling to Russia, but basically you should get out and because it's unsafe. And that's why many people might think that they're targeted because they are foreigners. And I don't mean physically, I mean like legally, like police might, if they find out, they're going to get you and take your money and use you as, and you know, this kind of type of things. And but you, according to you, a person living in Russia, as a, or not just living, a foreigner in Russia, as a tourist, as expat. A business expat, or just a tourist, is safe legal wise. I think, even or even maybe more safe, I think. Or you,
well, I would say that there is no discrimination in terms of, if you're a Russian citizen or a foreign citizen here. So we all have the same problems with the authorities, with bureaucracy. So, it doesn't matter if you're like a Russian citizen. Or UK citizen. Yes, that's why people hire lawyers to apply, for example, for the residency, because it's not that easy. Yes, it's possible you can do it by yourself. And actually, I used to have a lot of clients who just, you know, they told me that, okay, there's a list of documents. I would just gather them, prepare and submit. And after 3-4 tries, they just, you know, came back to me just to help them to be accepted. Because if the migration authority accepts your documents, that means that after four months, this is the consideration period, you'll get your residency. So their main goal is to refuse while you're trying to submit. And again, the bureaucracy is for everyone. I wouldn't say that,
I think the biggest, I had also a question, what is the most typical legal problem that a foreigner can run into? I think it's like the bureaucratic small details, and which could be described as a problems, legal problems, basically.
Definitely. For example, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Don't be.
You're a student, right? You're a student. You've got your passport, you've got your diploma and birth certificate, for example, right? If something is, you know, different, I mean, you don't have a middle name, but the university put your middle name in the diploma, you have to redo this document 100%. Because again, the main task for the migration authorities is to deny while you're trying to submit this document. And when they, you know, find a tiny error or typo, they will refuse 100%. So yes, it's our bureaucracy. But I can tell you that the same thing applies to the Netherlands. They also have this bureaucracy, but the mechanism is clearer there, and you can predict what could go wrong, right? But here, the human factor, I mean, the exact migration officer might have another opinion. And he or she might say, no, guys, I need additional documents stating that you are really you, right? So, this is their right.
Yeah, citizenship is something very interesting for foreigners and the ones, and me personally, the one with having Russian roots. Mm-hmm. Is what kind of...
That's right. So first of all, we expect to become and enforce a new law about citizenship. But I won't say anything about this law because here we need first to get this law adopted. I mean, to become this law into force. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to check the legal practice. It's also very important because there will be some novels in the citizenship procedures. So for example, if you have Russian roots, right? If your parents were born in Russia, in RSFSR, right, in the territory of Russia, and they used to have the registration here, that they were registered here, mm-hmm. then we can use this legal grounds to apply for you as the for the permanent residence permit. Yeah, as far as I understand, then you can apply for the citizenship. The general procedure is after having this permanent residence permit for 5 years, right? Citizenship is a hot topic because right now not all foreign citizens would like to get the citizenship because they're afraid of the mobilization or something like this,
mm-hmm.
right? So they just can freely live with a permanent residence permit issued forever. So again, there will be some changes in legislation in terms of citizenship. So let's wait until the end of this year and check what are the real, you know, nuances, right, with the citizenship. But yeah, if we're talking about guys who want to move here to relocate, who used to, well, if you were born here, right, and you have birth certificate issued in Russian, then you can apply for the residency.
Is it Russian or also Soviet, or is it Soviet Russia? Is there a hard border?
As well as RSFSR, as well as the USSR.
USSR or RFSR, Russian USSR?
Russian USSR,
but not USSR in general.
No, not Latvian, not Ukraine, but Russian. Yeah, this mm-hmm. is what the law says. And I would say our migration legislation is flexible.
Citizenship is a bit harder. Clearly, it's much more. You cannot apply unless you have you live first here for 5 years, right? And
first
then
you have
can
to have permanent residence permit.
Yeah.
So you cannot apply for the for the citizenship right away. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just like steps. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a really hard one for you till we are at the very end already. What about during this political climate in the world? What about those who are searching for a refugee status, political refugee status mm-hmm. coming from the mm-hmm. West? Do you know about that? We're getting really deep now.
There are no changes in the law for today, according to the temporary asylum, right? It's a refugee status. I would say that it's not that fair. This is my personal point of view. For those who want to get the asylum or refugee status, because if you would like to apply for the temporary asylum, it's issued for 1 year, and then you just, you know, continuously prolong it. You have to have a valid visa, right? You might not have a valid visa here in Russia. It may be expired. So let's say you got your student visa or tourist visa, and then right now your stay is illegal, right? Because your visa has been already expired. But you can go back to your home country because you're afraid that something will go wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of, maybe it's related to your political views, religious, right, and work-related. Maybe you're a journalist, mm-hmm. something like this. But you cannot apply for the refugee and the asylum status if you don't have a valid visa. So this is the thing, but it's still possible. So if you're planning to apply for the temporary asylum, it's possible. But first, you have to have any sort of valid visa, Russian visa. And then our job as lawyers is to prove that you cannot go back there because, yeah, something will go wrong, or criminal offense, just, you name it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the obstacle is the visa, which is for me, well.
So you have to have a visa to apply for asylum, correct?
Yeah, shortly. That's right.
Hold up just a second.
Yeah, sure. Take your time. I'll just drink my water. I think it's...
What can you say if a person is this right. one? There's a lot of... This is... I don't know. Do you recognize?
Yeah, foreign agent.
Yeah,
foreign
but agent. this is Erted. So this is the Russian troll. But I don't know. Should I walk this in like in front of Duma and I was fine, you know, FSB building in Moscow. It's, but what about the the actual foreign agents in being labeled a foreign agent? Is there anything people might be afraid? What if there are mentioned? How does it work? Shortly, don't go too deep in that. How are you labeled? Might be able to be labeled. Oh my God, able to be labeled as a foreign agent, not as a joke like my cap here, but for real.
This is the political question. I'm not an expert there. I can just tell you what I know from the open sources, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking about foreign agent, well, mostly it's all about Russian companies or Russian branches or Russian representative offices that's work in Russia, right? And they are labeled as foreign agent if they have some sort of financial support from outside.
Yeah.
The list of such companies is huge, right? And if you're asking what's gonna be like if you just go outside with a foreign agent, well, it's up to you. You can wear everything that you want.
Yeah, so, and like, even Russian people are like down to earth with that. But,
oh yeah, I believe so. And again, this foreign agent label, like 90% of companies, they are Russian companies. So yeah. I think that this is just how would I say?
It's not concerned for private citizens or foreign citizens. No. It's a company thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you work I don't know, international branch, right? Something mm-hmm. like this, which is included in this list, of course, you'll be recognized as foreign agent. But again, it's more, I think that it's more applies to the legal entity, to the company, but mm-hmm. not to the person itself.
By the way, is VPN illegal in Russia?
Still legal. But
legal?
VPN is legal, but they want to ban these websites that provide basically service.
All right.
But for today, it's legal.
Hey, you've been awesome. A ton of information, and we could go a lot deeper. And if people really really like, we might do another one. Like you mentioned about some topics, and we go. So everybody hit the like button now. Would you like to say something more about your company as an advertisement for this? How can you be reached, and your final thoughts?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I'll be happy to participate in any type of legal video. But I think that your videos are more about like lifestyle, right? And this is very interesting. So if you would have any questions about legal stuff, I'll be happy to participate. Well,
how can they reach you if they want?
Igor,
they want to, they have a question for you right away. What is the fastest way to reach you?
Well, first of all, your subscribers, your viewers can use the description to this video, right? This mm-hmm. is like the very nice path just to directly contact us and me mm-hmm. as well. and I have a really nice team, because we have, yeah, my department is the international one, but we have the registration, the registry, I mean, the business department, bankruptcy department, those guys who represent your interests in courts. So you can just also, you can contact us. You can find us in YouTube. Just type there, Braden Consulting or Braden International. There are a lot of videos. Actually, we used to shoot a lot of videos just to, you know, to make some content, like information videos for foreign citizens. Join our Telegram channel. It's called Live and Do Business in Russia.
I'll send the links also in the description. Awesome. So people
awesome.
Just
awesome. You can also find us in Facebook and also social medias, in Instagram as well. So yeah, we'll be really happy to help you in Russia, or if you're just planning to relocate to Russia as well.
All right. So thanks a lot. It's been awesome talking to you. A lot of information. Feel free to contact Michael or the company, and or just write in the comments. I think you could also be watching. If you have a lot of comments there, questions, it's possible that you comment there or advise them to go ahead and maybe fill in a form or something. Thank you so much. Leave a like to the channel. Subscribe to this channel. Subscribe to Braden Consulting Company on YouTube. Links down below. And I see you again in Russia. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Igor. Bye. Take care. Thanks a lot. Bye.